From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to an encore presentation of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. As Americans celebrate Independence Day and commemorate the birth of our nation, it would be good to remind ourselves of the fundamental purpose of the United States as set forth in the preamble to the Constitution: to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Christians in America are truly blessed to live in a nation where, unlike millions of Christians worldwide, we are free to worship God openly. At this critical time in history, pray that our freedom to worship will continue for generations to come. For the Apostle Paul reminds us that there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. As the psalmist proclaims, "He shall have dominion from sea to sea." And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to start the show in maybe an unusual fashion. I was reading an article before I came into the studio and quite frankly got emotional reading it. The article was written by Sophia Lee. She's writing for World Magazine, and the title of the article is "Sounding the Alarm," subtitled "Many Transgender Persons Regret What They Did to Their Bodies and Souls and Are Pleading with Others Not to Repeat Their Mistake." So Sophia writes as follows: Robert Wenman was 4 years into being a full-time transgender woman in Ontario, Canada, when a police officer asked him, "You got all your legal rights by now. Why don't you just enjoy life as a woman?" Well, the question left the then LGBT activist stuttering. Here he was. He was training a group of law enforcers on transgender rights, and yet he couldn't answer this basic question. Why? Why was he still campaigning and still fighting? The Canadian healthcare system, after all, had paid for a sex reassignment surgery and 10-day post-operative stay, and the court had changed his birth records from Robert John to Rebecca Jean. He had a secure job at the Canadian Post, full access to female facilities, and above all of that, his family accepted him. So Wenman was really the textbook case of a successful transgender woman. So why, he wondered, did he feel he was constantly battling something? So for days, Wenman stewed on the question and thought about all the ways he had blamed intolerant society for destruction in our souls. And yet, the deeper he searched his heart, the clearer he reached a painful acknowledgement. He had said he was fighting for transgender rights, but he was really fighting an internal battle. "I've been trying to fix things on the outside without fixing them on the inside," he said. The idea that anything needs fixing inside a transgender person, well, it is anathema to big media. Time calls transgender rights, quote, "America's next civil rights frontier." The New York Times has, in its own words, forcefully advocated a transgender crusade, with former Times editor Andrew Rothensaw calling those who question the transgender movement ignorant, stupid people. National Geographic joined the crusade, dedicating the first issue to the emerging gender revolution. What's missing from these stories, however, are the silent laments of individuals who now see their transgender experience as psychological and physical mutilation. I can't read the entirety of the story, but let me just progress a little bit with what Sophia Lee wrote. She talked about how many underwent irreversible surgery and now regret it. And when a psychiatrist told Robert Wenman he had gender dysphoria and advised him to transition into a woman, every loose piece of his life seemed to lock into place. Oh yeah, of course that's it. I'm really a woman in a man's body. So in 1991, when a transgender expert told him to transition into a woman, Wenman thought that he would solve all of his problems. He began hormone therapy. He changed his legal documents. He flew out to England and underwent sex reassignment surgery and then returned home to Canada in euphoria. But there was a problem. At 6 feet tall, with big manly hands and a masculine voice, Wenman struggled to pass as a woman and dreaded being in public. One stranger's weird look would provoke days of anguish, and kids gaped at him. Outwardly, Wenman giggled with fellow trans sisters at local bars and preached that gender is a psychological construct. But after 17 years as living as a woman, Wenman, now 60, has transitioned back to a man. His surgery, unfortunately, is irreparable. So when he hears stories of husbands who come out as transgender and leave their families, he grieves. I want to shake them and scream, "You don't know what you're doing." Again, all of this and more in an article, Sounding the Alarm, by Sophia Lee. And I'll tell you, it's a very courageous thing that she did to chronicle these stories in face of the preponderance of the narrative in a different direction. Time Magazine, New York Times, National Geographic, and it goes on and on. This is an unending narrative. It's very, very shrill. And if you say anything counter to this narrative, well, as demonstrated in the article, you're called ignorant and stupid. Be quiet. We have this under control. But in the meantime, there's a silent holocaust. We're sowing to the wind. We're reaping the whirlwind. Tragic circumstance. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go to the phone calls. We'll talk to Grant. He's listening in Iowa. Hi, Grant.
Hi, Hank. How are you? I listen to your broadcast all the time, and I think it's brought me closer to the Lord.
Well, bless you.
I do have a question. You know, is it our job as a Christian to make people aware of their sins? You know, like, well, an adulterer, you got a good friend, mess around. Tell them right out, hey, buddy, don't do that. Or, you know, you know somebody that is having a homosexual relationship, and you say, hey, brother, I love you, but in the Bible, it says you got a good chance of going to hell.
Well, I think what's important is to love your brother, love your sister, even love your enemy. And in that way, we act in a loving manner towards other people. And oftentimes, that love does involve reproach. And you do that not because you're being judgmental, but because you want to be helpful to that person. Now, you said brother. If we take that in a narrow, strict sense of someone who really is a brother in the Lord, you want to say to them exactly what you indicated. The scripture makes very, very plain what the parameters are that we are to live within. So if he was involved in an adulterous relationship, you would have the warrant to say to him, you know, I love you, you're a friend, and I think our friendship has allowed me to talk to you about this matter, because this matter is not only hurting you, but maybe the person's wife or family or whatever the case might be. So I think you earned the right. I was just at a doctor appointment. The doctor asked me intimate personal questions that if someone on the street were to ask me, I would never answer. I would think that's absurd that that person would be asking me that question. But the doctor has my confidence He is my doctor, and therefore he's allowed to ask me those questions. It is natural. And so I think from brother to brother, sister to sister, this is something that we ought to be doing. It's part of how the body of Christ functions as a unit. And I suppose the best example of all of this is given to us by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. The other thing I would point out quickly, I'm coming up to station break, is that you can reprove those who are spreading or doing things publicly. You can reprove them publicly. I mean, Paul reproves Peter publicly, for Pete's sakes. No pun intended. We're coming up to station break. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions right after the station break, so please don't touch that dial.
Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in just a few moments.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Marxism, rebranded as socialism today, is making a comeback, and in the politics of the progressive left, the makeover is complete. But Marxist theory suffers the same malady as every materialist theory. It contradicts the existence of the theorist. Other topics include, what's the problem with conversion therapy? Does Galatians 5 forbid the use of medicine? The films of Alfred Hitchcock in the age of Instagram, honoring dishonorable parents. Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. In City of God, Augustine contends that there is no absurdity or incongruity in asserting a fellowship between men and angels. Augustine doesn't argue for merely the existence of angels, but that angels interact with and influence our daily lives. Many today dismiss the reality and influence of angels, but throughout history, Christians have believed that angels assist us on our journey to God, and the book, Lifted by Angels, by Joel J. Miller, helps modern readers glimpse angels as the early Christians did. Lifted by Angels will awaken you to the presence and power of angels as the heavenly guides and guardians of our lives. To receive your copy of Lifted by Angels, the presence and power of our heavenly guides and guardians, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI.
or go online to equip.org. Heaven is closer than we realize. Its boundaries overlap our own, and angels move in and out of our daily lives. While many today dismiss the existence of angels, the ancient faithful held a powerful belief that angels help carry us on our journey to God. Lifted by Angels by Joel J. Miller helps modern readers glimpse angels as early Christians did to reveal the presence and power of angels in our lives. To receive a copy of Lifted by Angels for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And just a reminder that there are so many ways to listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and they will be expanded even further in the future. But you can listen to the broadcast live on equip.org. You can listen to the broadcast on Sirius XM 131. That is satellite radio. So if you don't have satellite radio, that's how I listen to the radio. You can also listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast by downloading CRI's Equip app. We'll keep you informed as we continue to progress into the future. I have some exciting plans in store for our ministry, not only here, but abroad as well. So again, thank you for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Let's go to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Alan, Houston, Texas, and he's listening on the web. Hi, Alan.
Alan, how's it going, Hank? Christ is risen.
Thank you. He is risen indeed.
Thank you for your ministry, and you know your character has just shone so brightly through the trials that you've gone through, and you have my prayers on that. Your ministry is really to God's glory. And by the way, and this isn't orchestrated, but I will be calling that other number after my call, and I'm going to join and support on a monthly basis your ministry. I just think it's that important. So,
thank you. Bless you.
Well, it's good. It's a very, very good effort, and I encourage everyone to do that. My question is, I've been doing a lot of searching, Hank, myself. I'm not as far along the journey maybe as you are in studying church history and different theologies over the church's history. But, you know, I learned when I grew up, I learned that, you know, salvation is a light switch. You know, you flip it and it's done. And the light stays on. But in 1 Corinthians 1:18, I mean, God just really zoomed this in on me today. I was looking through the New Testament and this just really jumped out. You know, the Apostle Paul uses the Greek word, I guess, is sozomenois. I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but it's translated as being saved. And he does it again in 2 Corinthians 2:15. And, you know, I'm sure you've got all of that memorized. But, you know, since he's using this present passive participle, it's a process kind of thing. And just wondering if you could help to explain that, because apparently he does it in other places. And studying that, I'm kind of, you know, trying to figure out exactly what he's talking about. So thank you, and God bless your ministry, and I guess I'll hang on.
Thank you, Alan. And, you know, what you've said actually in the prologue to the question is the answer to the question. I think everything you've said is absolutely correct. You know, there's a sense in which we are saved and we are being saved. We have to participate not in an inactive way, but an active way as a follower of Jesus Christ. So we are participants in the kingdom. We're co-consummators of the kingdom. And I, like you, love 1 Corinthians chapter 18, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And this is the present tense. It does refer to the process by which the cross transforms us with the power of God. And I also very much appreciate what Paul says in Colossians 1, 28 and 29, where he's talking about preaching Christ, that he is perfecting everyone in Christ. And then he says, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energies, which so powerfully work in me. So it's not as though this is some kind of a transactional deal that we make. We pray a prayer. There's some magic formula associated with it, maybe even some magic woofle dust. And now, all of a sudden, we don't have to do anything. We can be a baptized secular humanist. No, we are now participants. We take up the cross. We daily follow Jesus Christ. And within the context of the body of Christ, grace is dispensed to the life of the believer. So again, we don't live by might or by power, but by His Spirit. And I have said on other broadcasts, much of my life, I looked at Christianity as a transactional issue. The problem here is that in that sense, there was truth, and I defended truth, defined truth, debated truth, but I didn't really experience Christ. Maybe in some rudimentary fashion I did, but our quest is to find our all in fellowship in the Trinity, which we are created for. And that comes along with loving and serving and following Christ, and again, partaking of the means of grace that He gives us to partake of. So, absolutely fantastic observation. I wouldn't have had to say anything, Ellen. What you said was right on. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Andrew, Kansas City, Kansas, listening on the web. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Hank. How you doing? You're a long-time Orthodox fan in Kansas City.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you called.
Glad to follow you on your journey there.
Thank you.
The question I have is, as far as the theory of the rapture, I know it's not biblically supported, but in discussing it with some family and friends, what would you say would probably be the top three biblical takeaways as far as disputing the rapture?
Yeah, you know, the thing that I would say is it all starts with a presupposition. And that presupposition is that God has two distinct people, which means that He has two distinct plans, and He has two distinct phases of the second coming, a secret coming followed by a second coming. And many who believe in a pre-tribulational rapture also believe that there's going to be a millennial temple with reinstituted temple sacrifices, and those sacrifices are going to atone for sin. So let's go back to the beginning. God has two distinct people. Well, the premise is simply false. God has only always had one chosen people, one covenant community, beautifully connected by the cross and illustrated by the Apostle Paul as a cultivated olive tree. So as opposed to having two people, He has one people, and that people from every nation and language and tribe is beautifully, beautifully illustrated in the Old Testament. When you look at people like Rahab and Ruth, when you look at Esther being raised up to save the Jews from certain destruction under Haman, and then you see that on that day, many different people from many different nations become Jews. They do that because they believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel, and they're brought into all the types and shadows, ultimately pointing forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ Himself in the book of Revelation talks about the fact that there are those who say they are Jews but are not. They're a synagogue of Satan. Peter in the New Testament, he doesn't want to go see a Gentile because he says they're unclean. Well, God really has a strong reprimand for Peter. He shows him a vision three times, and at the end, Peter ends up going to Cornelius and saying, you know, after I saw that vision three times, I realized that God does not show favoritism. Paul, of course, is equally emphatic when he says, in Christ there's no Jew or Greek, there's no male or female, there's no slave or free. If you are in Christ, you're the seed of Abraham, and then you too are an heir according to the promise. So there's only one royal seed. That royal seed is Jesus Christ. If you are in Christ, you are the seed of Abraham, you are an heir according to the promise. So again, I think that the whole idea, which is a very modern idea, by the way, the early church knew nothing about this whatsoever. It's a modern idea, but it's built on a faulty premise.
Well, didn't the even the Reformation leaders, you're talking Luther, Calvin, they didn't even espouse that idea either.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is a 19th century idea that is very popular in churches today. Better watch it or I'm going to get in trouble again here by saying this. But, I mean, it's popular in churches today. But the question is always not what I say, but, you know, what I just said. Check it out in Scripture and then see if what I have said conforms to the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. I've written a book about this. I think it's an important issue. I wouldn't divide with people that disagree with me on this issue, but I certainly would discuss it with them with meekness and humility. But the book is called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. And there's a whole section on how this idea got started and how it was spread and the ramifications of it in the modern world. And that's all I can say. I'm out of time. But do remember, we do what we do because life and truth matter. And we're deeply grateful for those who stand with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach in the battle for life and truth. Your prayers, your support financially are touching lives for time and for eternity. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The problem with same-sex attraction conversion therapy is the way it is defined and presented, sometimes inaccurately, sometimes dishonestly. And like other forms of counseling, some of its practitioners have erred grievously, but that hardly calls for an end to sound versions of the practice itself. Other topics include history's bloody mess, why Marxism and socialism always fail, should Christians participate in boycotts, Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, honoring dishonorable parents, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.